I want to start with a question tonight. How many of you here have a ministry? Raise your hand. Ooh, some of us are missing the boat. Everybody here should have a ministry. If you don't have a ministry, you need to back up and say, Lord, where do you want me to serve? Okay? Every one of us has a ministry. Tonight I want to talk to you about success in ministry. Now, I could give you, say, well, I've been in ministry 30 years and I'm going to tell you how to be successful. No, because I'm still learning, okay? But tonight we get advice from somebody who is tried and true, and that is the Apostle Paul. As he gives young Timothy the way to have success in his ministry. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, would you stand with me? We're going to read one verse tonight. Paul's basically getting started in this book of 1 Timothy, and I know that's not what's in the bulletin. Miss Ruby printed the wrong thing in the bulletin. No, she didn't. I changed my mind, okay? I changed my mind, and so I just saw an opportunity to blame Miss Ruby, and no, it's my fault, right? 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Our Father in heaven, teach us how to be successful in ministry. Not by the world standard of success, but by your standard of success. Lord, we want to serve you faithfully. We want to do what you have called us to do. Lord, we want to glorify you. So empower us and enable us to serve you faithfully, to work as laborers in your vineyard, and Lord, send us a great harvest. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Paul said in the beginning of this verse, he said, the purpose of this instruction is. Now, I want you to understand what that statement is. Okay, the word purpose, it means the end. It literally means the end of it all, or the accomplishment of it all. And what he's talking about, we would say the same thing as, my goal is blank for you. Okay? And Paul, from the beginning, he's telling Timothy why he's writing him this letter. And it is a letter to Timothy, young pastor at Ephesus. And Paul has been to Ephesus. As a matter of fact, he spent somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 years at Ephesus. And while he was there, he was successful. He preached the gospel to those folks and they responded to the gospel. As a matter of fact, they responded so well that it got him in trouble. You see, anytime you're successful in God's work, Satan's going to show up. Well, when Paul was in Ephesus and he was ministering there, people were responding to the gospel, and it made this man, Demetrius, angry. Demetrius was a silversmith there, and he made his living by creating idol statues of the goddess Diana. And so Paul is preaching the gospel, and people are being saved. The more people that are saved, the less people that are worshiping the goddess, the false god of Diana. And the more that don't worship Diana, the smaller the market becomes for those little figurines that Demetrius was making. And so, you mess with somebody's money, they get angry, right? He got mad. And he raised up and stirred up the whole town. And ultimately, Paul wound up having to leave town because of the uprising that he caused from preaching the gospel. But as Paul writes this, I want you to understand, he's not just writing this, let me tell you what you need to do, Timothy. He's writing this as a man with experience. If you're going to be successful, Timothy, in Ephesus, here's what you're going to have. I've been there, I've done that, and this is what was required of me when I was there. That's what he says. Number one, it starts with love. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love. Let's stop right there. Because it gives us three other things there after that. But you could start each one of these things that we're going to talk about with the word love. Right? And we talked about the love of God this morning and how the love of God that has been shown and displayed toward us. The Greek word was agape. And I'm just going to do a quick little review. Not going to re-preach this morning. But the meaning of the word love in the Greek is agape, is a selfless love acting in the best interest of someone else, even when it's undeserved. Now, that was the love that God demonstrated toward us through Jesus Christ, right? Now, when we back up and we really think about that love, we kind of think, well, I just don't know if I can get there. But I want you to understand tonight, that same sacrificial love is commanded of the children of God. It was demonstrated by Jesus, but is expected by God from His children. As a matter of fact, Luke 10:27, it says, Jesus is speaking, he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." That word love is agape. It is that same selfless love shown toward undeserving individuals that we're supposed to have. That's not new. Now, Paul gives us three ways to apply that love. Okay? Number one, he says, love from a pure heart, or love by means of a pure heart. The word pure, I want you to stop and think, and you know me, I get on words, right? Well, tonight we're going to get on a few words. That word pure, it means without mixture. Means with to be free from contamination. This is love that comes from a cleansed heart. Now listen, if you're going to serve the Lord, if you're going to minister in the Lord's work, you got to get right with God first yourself before you can give it to anybody else. Okay? If your faith is failing, if your life is contaminated with sin, whatever the need is, you've got to understand you will not be effective until you get right with God. I can say that of myself also, right? Love that's going to come from a pure heart is love that's going to come from a heart that makes God the priority. And not just, okay, I've got to be right with God, but I've got to have a one-tracked heart. You ever heard of anybody with a one-track mind? What does that mean? That means all they can think about is one thing. Same idea here. Okay? Love with a pure heart means cleansed, of course, a right heart, but it carries the idea of you're ministering with a love for Jesus Christ as being your motivation. If your love for Jesus does not make you do what you do, I promise you, you will not do it very long. If you do it because of people, people are going to disappoint you. If you do it for some other reason, that reason is going to fall by the wayside. I want to tell you, sometimes the only reason you have to do what you do in ministry is because you know you love Jesus Christ, and that has to be enough. I want to give you an example. We're 1 week away from Vacation Bible School. Now, those of you who are going to be teaching classes, I want to ask you this. Why are you going to do it? You say, oh, Brother Doug, I love children. Why do you love children? I mean, they're a pain. Not really. I love kids too, right? But I tell you, they'll wear you out over a week of Vacation Bible School, won't they? When you get done in the week of Vacation Bible School, you're going to be tired. You're going to be very tired, which is okay. Bottom line, why do you do it? You have to do it because you love Jesus Christ and you want them to know the same Jesus that you know. That's what carries you through it. And really, I wasn't talking about our kids negatively. Y'all know how I feel about our kids. But listen, the motivation can't be people. The motivation can't even be children. The motivation's got to be, I love Jesus. Because that's the only thing that'll see you through. Okay? Love from a pure heart, a one-tracked heart, holy and fully dedicated to Jesus. Second thing, love from a good conscience. Now, what is a conscience? A conscience is awareness within oneself, or the inner judge that accuses us when we do wrong and approves us, for that matter, when we do right. Now, everyone has a conscience, right? How many has a conscience? Okay, about the same number that have a ministry. Bless your heart. Everyone has a conscience, but not everyone has a godly conscience. You know, that's why people can become so targeted in on doing the wrong thing. Because they're listening to the wrong one. So the most important thing about your conscience is that it be God guided. Holy Spirit guided. Not think like the world, but rather think like God. But where I'm going, okay? Have you ever come to the end of a job and you just backed up and went, ha, I did everything I could do. Have you ever been there? And you look and you see your success. You measure what you did by what you see. You know, the idea of a conscience here is being able to look at what you've done and what you're doing and saying, I've given it my all. Okay? Not just that I've done the right thing. I have done it with vigor, you know. I've put everything I had into my ministry. See, Paul makes a statement that's always been very interesting to me. In Acts 20, verse 26 and 27, Paul said he was on his way to Rome, and he was talking to the elders at Ephesus, and he said, therefore, I testify to you this day, I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. You know what he's talking about? He's saying, I did everything I can do. I gave it 100%. Listen, if you're going to be successful in ministry, you got to give it your all. You got to pour your heart into it. That's good enough is never a phrase that should be used in the kingdom of God. You know? It should never be that, well, you know, we can do better, but this is what we've done right. No. That promotes lukewarmness. Listen, I want to get to the end of life and be able to say, I've run a good race. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Don't you want that? That's what the Apostle Paul had. So a second thing to be aware of to be successful in ministry is you got to give it your all. Quit half-hearting. Right? Third thing. Love from a sincere faith. Okay? Again, love from a pure heart, love from a good conscience, and love from a sincere faith. That word sincere, it means genuine, unhypocritical, no hypocrisy, no play acting. That you genuinely trust and believe in Jesus Christ. Listen, you can't give to others, and I've told you this before, but you cannot give to others what you do not have. I genuinely believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I genuinely believe that He came to this earth to die for my sins. I believe He died on the cross of Calvary. I believe He rose from the grave. And I believe today He's seated at the right hand of God to make intercession for me. And He hears me every time I pray. I believe that. And I also believe that Jesus is the only hope that we have for this world and this culture that we live in. That's sincere faith. That's a faith that you've got to know why you're doing what you're doing. You know? We're not just singing songs. We're not just having a youth program. Not just going to have VBS because it's summertime and that's what we do. Listen, we've got to do what we do because we know what we believe and we know why we believe it. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you look around at these kids. Listen, I do love our kids. Right? But it's also scary what these kids face. I'm an old guy. My roots are pretty deep. And you're not going to convince me otherwise. No matter what you tell me, I know that Jesus is Jesus, the Son of God. But I've discovered what our kids are facing today from the time they enter the public school system to the time they graduate college. Most of our public education institutions are trying to take that away from our kids. If they take that away from our children, there is no hope. That should fire every one of us up. When we know that Jesus is the only hope for this nation and for the future. My friends, you know, Paul, he probably didn't tell anything to Timothy that he didn't already know. But he sure reminded him of some pretty important things. He reminded him he's got to start with love. And listen, we've got to start with love. He reminded him that you got to have a heart that's right if you're going to truly serve. He reminded him that you need a good conscience. A conscience that says, I've given my all. And then finally, you got to be sincere. You've got to believe what you're selling. I've shared this with you before, but I'm going to tell you one more time anyway. When I was in college, I was a salesman for the Kirby Vacuum Cleaner Company. I was pretty good at it. I sold enough vacuum cleaners that they sent... Where did they send us, Beth? We went to some convention. Where? Nashville? I was a big deal to an old country boy like me. But I'll tell you what, I never knocked on a door and said, ma'am, you don't want to buy an old vacuum cleaner, do you? But I did knock on several doors and say, ma'am, I'd just like to demonstrate the best vacuum cleaner that's on the market today. Now, I don't know if Kirby vacuum cleaners were that good or not, but I believed it. But I'll tell you what I do know. I do know that Jesus is the answer to what's to the problems that we have in the United States of America. I believe it with all my heart. And this message has reminded me, hey, it's time to fire up again. It's time to be serious and take serious what we're doing. You may be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ. Let me just share with you the love of God. The love of God sent Jesus to this earth, Son of God, so that He could go to Calvary and die for your sins. He gave His life so that you could have eternal life. And today He offers that to you. Salvation bought and paid for by the blood of God, Jesus Himself. And He says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That salvation is for you. Listen, I want to introduce you to the answer to our problem, the answer to your problems. That answer is Jesus Christ. Will you receive Him as your personal Savior? We have this invitation today. Maybe you're here today and ministry's gotten kind of dull to you. You know how to fire it back up? Number one, let's get right with God. Where do we do that? How do we do that? We do that on our knees. Okay? We do that on our knees. The altar's open for you. Whatever your spiritual need is, the invitation is your opportunity to respond to God's leading. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word, and we're reminded tonight that we've got to start with love. We've got to start with loving You and a dedication to You that can't be shaken no matter what. Lord, I pray in this coming week that You will renew us, Lord. Give us a zeal that Lord, we've lacked. Fire us up, Lord. Lord, I pray that during this invitation, Your will be done. That if there's one that does not know You as their personal Savior, they will come for salvation. That if there are others who've become lukewarm and lax, I pray that they'll come and rededicate themselves to You. I pray that we'll walk out of here tonight, Lord, renewed to serve You. In Jesus' name I pray.